Blog Talk Radio.
Something about the intro always reminds me of the old show that should come on years ago, Mod Squad, it was called. I might be dating myself, but that's okay. And there was one character in Mod Squad. I didn't say too much, but I made sure every Monday night I had to see a little bit of the show to see this character. Clarence Williams III. That was one cool brother. Welcome to When Black Men Talk. I'm Mark Elliott, soon to be joined by Mr. DeMaurice and Mr. Charles. It's our weekly get-together where we do some provocative talk and explore the male's perspective, I'm sure, on life, love, and relationships, and always looking in the mirror for honest self-evaluation, not shying away from some things that need to be said. And I'm sure this week I'm going to do something a little different this week. I'm going to usually we have questions towards the end of the show. I'll move some of the questions to the front of the show because I've got a funny feeling some of these cats want to get some things off their chest, and I'm sure Mr. DeMaurice wants to get some things off his chest. Last week, we were listening to the show. He spoke all, you know, in the beginning of the show. He was upset a few times, and he was going to come up here to Connecticut and knock on the door and put him up. You know, I didn't say that then, but I thought about during the week. He's my cousin, and I love him. He might have drove up. But he's going to look back, that's for sure. Because that'll be the day. That'll be the day. One Mr. DeMaurice can handle me. I'm going to tell you that right now. Mr. DeMaurice, man, as I just said a little while ago, we always come towards the end of the show and get questions from yourself, from Mr. Charles. And if you have something you want to kind of basically, even if not a question, man, something you want to state, something that's kind of been bubbling inside of you that you want to express, we're willing to listen, sir.
Oh, man. It just goes back to the days we used to just wrestle all the time. Y'all stop that wrestling. Man, I'm glad we could, after this week, man, of seeing white privilege on display in Washington, D.C., and all the repercussions that are going to come from that, and seeing how some of the folks in this country are kind of reacting to a bunch of lies and really just a lot of disinformation, man. I know I spoke to a couple of friends and cousins of mine about it, talked to my pop about it, and a few of them were kind of pissed. They couldn't really kind of put things into words until the next day. I know my pop said he couldn't even talk to anybody Wednesday after seeing all that. And I was just wondering what your reaction, you and ICE's reaction, or Mr. Charles' reaction from the events on Wednesday.
I was, strange enough, I was at work when I guess I heard the news about it, and I kind of saw the headline, and didn't really look too far about it. Then a gentleman at work brought it to my attention, and the first thing that I thought, and the first thing I said, is why are they not being sprayed, gunned down? I just don't understand. I do understand, but that's just it, man. Anything to me less than that is totally unacceptable. Just totally is. I looked at it from different perspectives. And realistically, to me, we know if that was you and I and you want to look like us when we were doing that, we know what the outcome be. And it's amazing that throughout the past year and now, to me, God has really shown the world what America's always stood for. He just is, bro. He's pulling back covers and showing those that never wanted to believe our voices, our words, what we were saying about this place that people claim they want to die for, what's going on in this country, it's on full screen to see. You can no longer bury your head and act like it doesn't apply to you or what we're saying doesn't exist. But one thing I thought of about this is that you're showing terrorists around the world how to take America down.
Mm-hmm.
And no one wants to talk about that, but you gave them the blueprint. Just imagine if those were gentlemen that weren't from this country that was trying to basically flatten that area. Come on, bro. And there's no way, whatever those police are called, metropolitan police, whatever, they all should be fired. Even if he wasn't working that day, he should be fired. Because realistically, to me, if you are one of those and you're off duty, your ass should have been to work. As soon as you heard that, jump in your vehicle, you got to go to work and do something. So I don't want to hear there was understaffed, whatever the case may be. And the brother that was running away, I don't care what you've been told. I don't care. I don't care what order you was given. But I'll be, come on, bro. There's no way I'm going to have a weapon on me and a mob is chasing me and I'm having target practice. At what point inside of you a man just kicks in and stands up? So there's so much about that I find utterly amazing, and I kind of, after I had that talk or whatever, I kind of like left it there. I listened to other people vent about it. I ain't going any deeper, but I just think, not only think, I feel and I believe that, you know, this country has been brainwashing its own and the world for a long period of time. And if anything that basically came out of the last 4 years and this past year, America has shown how idiotic, how ignorant that we are. And if you don't see that on a grand scale, you're dumber than I think you are. Your response.
Man, there's the old rap song. I know I talked to a couple of guys. There's an old rap song by Outkast who talks about a fight outside the club. And when that dude was running with that little baton, and I was trying to figure out if he had a weapon. And folks was like, yeah, he had a weapon. There's a part in that record that says, you know, whap, whap, you know, gunfire going off. And who else want to fuck with Hollywood Cole? Because if that didn't stop you, then I'm letting them all off. And I have a defense that, you know, I was fearing for my life. A mob was coming after me. I was fearing for my life. You had every right to do that. Everybody who died in there, whether it was shots or remained in there by whoever wasn't on the take, because I think it was an inside job. You can't get inside that place unless you're letting folks inside there. You have police officers taking selfies. You have folks letting open gates. You have folks who had a plan to kidnap and maybe shoot and maim some of the politicians. It just shows white privilege on display, because every protest I went to, and they weren't even protesting, they were coming in to really kind of destroy, loot, and kidnap folks. But every protest I went to, it was for cops. Cops are visible, either in trucks, cars, on foot, horses. They knew when we were coming. They knew when the protest was happening. They knew how many people were, intending to go, because they were following folks on social media and they were monitoring phones. So, again, what you said, the excuses that are coming up like we didn't know, we weren't prepared. Nah, you did. You did. You were in on it. And I think the Capitol, the leader of the Capitol Police, he's already resigned. They were in on it. And you're right. It does get – I think this was a test run. I think this was a test run for, in a couple of weeks, what's going to happen in inauguration and before that. And who knows? There probably were terrorists from different countries just running into the test run with that to see whether or not what they can get away with. And you're right. We've been saying this for a long time. A buddy of mine was talking about how, it made him angry and he was, upset about it. And I'm like, this has been happening. I know people that I know, this has been happening for a long time. It's just on camera now. And I'm so glad that none of the other groups were out there so they could try to blame it on them. They're trying to blame it on somebody. But no, this is America. This is what these folks are capable of. And it was kind of ironic that you guys, we were talking about, you know, are you optimistic about the future? And I kept saying, this is a mess, bro. This is a mess. You got almost half of this country that are clowning like this and feel like they're justified in doing this. This is a big mess. So, again, no, I'm not optimistic, because you got a lot of knuckleheads out there. And this is, to me, is only the beginning. It's not, you know, something that that happened last week and it's going to go away. No, I think these groups are gearing up to try to do whatever they can do to disrupt whatever progress that folks are trying to make. So, you know, you got to strap it up and let's go, because this is only the beginning. And that's just my opinion. But I don't think that this is going to go away anytime soon, because when you have so much disinformation and folks are just really just going out of their way, and they don't even care. They don't care if they're on camera. They don't care if their phones are being monitored. They don't care about going to jail. They don't care about, you know, a few of them getting killed in the process. They want to act on stupidity. They feel like they are entitled to whatever they're entitled to, and that's what they're acting on. And so we got to wake up, and we got to you know, take a stand on this. And if we don't, and if those folks aren't held accountable, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse.
Well, this doesn't change my optimism about 2021 at all. I'm not going to let a bunch of assholes, seriously, change what I think. I want to ask you a question, because there's always been around, bro, some form of fascism, so it's nothing new. It's just grand scan. It's new to some other folks that just maybe kind of clued into it. But I want to ask a question, and it goes back to the cat, the brother that was running away. Now, you know, like you said, when you went in to protest, what was there? But I want to put this question right where it needs to be. He's a black man running. If those are black people that came into that building,
yeah,
would he have been running and doing the same thing?
I'm not sure. I don't know that brother's mentality. I don't know what he's been told. I don't know what he's been trained to do. But we seem to be more, you know, looking at our past and what we've been doing all over the country, we seem to be more willing to attack our own than somebody else. But the law is the law. I felt my life, because it's used on us all the time, I felt my life was threatened. I think the brother, when he was running, felt his life was threatened. He was justified to pop off some rounds. He was justified in doing so, because they breached. You ever been to the Capitol in Washington? You can't get through some of them. They're all armed. You can't get through that stuff. So he was justified in doing what he did. And what if nobody came to his – would he kept running? Would he ran out of the Capitol? No, you got a gun for a reason. And if folks are breaking the law, I ain't saying he had to kill him, but, hey, you can get a kneecap, a leg. You can get something to slow them down and let them know that I'm not playing.
No, you kill them, bro, because they kill us for much less. You kill them. And I'm going to say this. All sincerely, he would have shot them if they was black. Because even black people don't value black lives. We don't. In his mind, bro, he believes, I can't take a white person's life because I will go to jail. He's been thinking that like the rest of them. So, no, damn that shooting them in the knee, you shoot to kill. Because that's what they do when they're shooting at us. They're not trying to shoot us in the knee. So why are we giving them any, you know, side off, shoot them in the knee? Hell with that. Shoot him in the head. Shoot one in the head. Like, it's so funny. I was saying to a cat the other day, I said, when I came up, there was a mantra I always carry in the back of my head. If I was in a situation where two or three more was on to fight me, I can't fight all three. I'm going to pick one, and I'm going to town on that one. And if you're still hanging around, you'll get some left. I'm going to make sure one of you is going to catch a serious beating. So I'm saying this, you shoot one of them in the head, the rest will run. No, don't shoot him in the knee. You shoot one in the head, you make a point of it. See, you can't play cops and robbers when everything is good, bro. If you decide to be a cop, you got to go do what you got to do. So you want to protect the white man's land, you probably don't realize that people that look like you built that land. So, no, shoot them in the head. That'd be more than justified. Mr. Charles, we kind of slipped things a little bit this week. We're coming with the questions first, and or what you're kind of feeling first. I guess you can tell what we're talking about, man. So I'm going to stand back and let you come on in.
Well, thanks. I'm sorry for being tardy, but damn, I don't know if I want to get into
bro,
this.
Bro, you're never tardy, man. As long as you show up in here, bro, you don't look at the clock. You always say that, man. You're never tardy. You ain't tardy.
Shooting in the head. I'm like, damn, what the hell did I walk into?
Let me just say this real quick. I'm just tired that, you know, we want to protest and do stuff when they do that to us. But we don't want to play down what we could do to them. It's time that we turn around, man. The chickens are home on the roost. You get opportunity to shoot those motherfuckers in the head, shoot them. Stop playing around. They gave you an opportunity to do such with a weapon. You're a black police officer, a black man in this country. Where you been for the past several years when you've been seeing this going on? What we've been talking about with Black Lives Matter? Malcolm X talked about this 40 years ago. It's nothing new. So you can't be a black man living in this country acting like you're afraid to shoot a white man. But we are. I'm sorry, a group of them that's coming after you? Bro, what type of brainwashing is that? So it may sound strange, but they don't think twice while popping a cap in your head for that opportunity. An opportunity. They only have to have a right or a need, an opportunity. So I'm sick and tired of us sitting where we can't talk with force. We can't fuck all that. Act like they treat you. Give them back what, because that's what they're afraid of. They know we're going to bow down to them. Not here. Sorry if I stepped in your words, bro.
No problem. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Just bizarre, man. Bizarre as hell. I'm watching that and things that came to my mind were, of course, if that was a group of people of color, particularly us, up in there, what would happen? But that's a lot of what ifs. And I kind of think I already have my answer. But the other part of it is, though, what I found ironic, and granted, you know, they talk about the siege, which was a siege of certain individuals. There are a lot of people standing around, man. What I found out is there's a lot of followers. And though we talked about being optimistic about the future, when I said I was optimistic, I'm optimistic because my mindset is already on a different wavelength anyway. I always has been. I watch people and I see them for who they are. And I don't trust a lot of folks, and I always knew that there was some kind of undertone of people feeling some kind of way but didn't have the courage to step up. But when 45 came along, it opened the door for a lot of people to kind of really say what they always wanted to say, right? And they were afraid, but now it's kind of an open door for them to people to really say what they wanted to say. But when they attacked and came through, I was like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. Where is the protection? Where are the police? Where is the force? And as you mentioned before, when the protests, when they had the Black Lives Matter march, you couldn't even get close to the stairs. They had police all and National Guardsmen all over the place, like they have them down there now, protecting the area. But to know that they were that close to breaking through and possibly damaging or injuring some of our lawmakers. Wow, I don't get that. I don't understand that. And then the part of the part that 45 played in that, and then to act as if he had nothing to do with it or try to act like they weren't on his command. What I do find it is, I think remember seeing some of those people, the other people that were the followers with a bunch of cell phones. Now you had some angry people that did have weapons and things in their hands willing to do damage. But there are a lot of people watching your followers. And I think a lot of people in this program, in my opinion, and I might be wrong because I'm not watching closely, I think there's a lot of followers, a lot of wannabes. Because when it gets down to when the rubber meets the road, like the lady, for instance, that lost her life when she got shot, if you watch the video closely, this is my interpretation, when the guy says, hey, he has a gun. A lot of people fell back. That lady went forward, man. I went back and watched some of the videos. She's what they call a patriot. She believed everything what was being said. That was her choice, and she was willing to die for it, which she did. Other people, when they saw that gun and heard the gun, they backed up. The people that's really about that life, they move forward. And they have a lot of people doing that and trying to come forward, but there are a lot of people that I think are followers. It's very crazy, the fact that that many people died in this madness, and something's going to have to happen. But for us, though, I think there's a lot more, in my opinion, and I might be wrong, I think there's a lot more of us that are more in tune than want to let loose and say that we are. Now, there are some that are asleep, some that are lost, that think they don't understand how this is happening. But those that really know, like I said, when I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, bro, there's a thing called, they weren't the Black Panthers, but it's a group that lived on my block, or they took over a house, and they called the Chains of Rap Brown. And we know who Rap Brown was, right? So they were a subsidiary, if you will, of the Black Panthers. And the Chains of Rap Brown ran the whole, they made sure that there was protection and security all up and down our block. They didn't bother the people unless something happened, and they were basically a motorcycle gang. But I think there's a lot more of people that are ready to go to work and do what you have to do in our group than people believe or realize. And some of those individuals, because I've heard of them, even some of them are former police officers, particularly former veterans of the armed forces that sit ready, able, and armed to handle business. Now, are we uniform and are we coming together like that? Perhaps not, but there are a lot of people that I know and even witness that they're ready to go. And if you're not aware of what's going on or what's happening, that should show you right there, right before your eyes, what people are capable of and what's going on. Again, I tell people all the time, there are a lot of us that have that attitude of being cordial and being meek and letting stuff go and say, oh, they just, you know, it's not really that bad. I don't know about you. I said it all the time. When I first heard that phrase, make America great again, make America great again, that told me people want to go back to the power that they felt and putting some groups of people, particularly African Americans, in their place. Where they're servants, and they go back to being, they bow down. I don't know nothing about that, and I said it once, I said it again. I'm not going back. I don't know nothing about that. I always have my eye watching on those people that are doing these type of things.
You know, interesting. Several years ago, Minister Louis Farrakhan got together and called for 1 million black men to meet into Washington. And I remember when he did that, people were basically saying what was going to happen, how the violence was going to break out, this and that. And think about that for a second. I remember going, and it was one of the best days of my life. But for numerous of reasons, that day will always stand out. And I'm not even going to try to compare, but I'm just throwing it out there because it's amazing how they look at us. You can get 1 million of us to walk up there and act totally different. So that, to me, is such a contrast. It's a big contrast. In 2017, the Reverend Dr. Raphael Warnock was arrested at the Capitol building. Think about this. He was arrested 4 years ago for protesting peacefully and playing at the entrance of these same hooligans or thugs, whatever you want to call them, broke through and went through. 4 years later, the same peaceful protester is now writing and passing legislation as the first black man out of the state of Georgia to be elected to the U.S. Senator, and he'll be working in that same building. So I hear you, Mr. DeMaurice, when you say you're not you can't find it, whatever the case may be, to be optimistic and you're not out there. I'm just going to say this, man. What you've seen on Wednesday has always been America. And black people have made strides in this country regardless. So I hear what Mr. Charles is saying. When we band together and do what we got to do, ain't nothing we can't get accomplished in this country. So I don't fear none of that. I don't think about none of that. And none of that will ever get in my way or get in my head and make me think negative about what's going on. My days in this life, I don't know what they are. I'm going to always wake up. If I'm able to wake up and think positive and do what I got to do, that's who I am. So they can burn down for that area for all I care. But I'm just happy in a sense that it exposed this country for who they are. I remember when 9/11 happened, you know, we lost lives, don't get me wrong. And I said it back then, the roosters came home to roost. We go into a lot of different countries and do some horrible things, but we act like we're immune from that, and we're not. And we live, a lot of people live in this country today and think that everything America has said to you has been great, it doesn't affect that you're immune to it. Well, you're seeing totally different now, totally different. Gentlemen, let's take a little break. We'll come back, and we'll jump into some different things for this evening over this show. This is Steve Maurice, Mr. Charles, Mark Elliott. We call this one Black Men Talk. Why are men single or choosing to be single? Or why are we single? And this kind of piggybacks on that a little bit, but not necessarily, but it kind of does piggyback on that some. And I wanted to kind of spend a little time on this. And let's make it separate from why men single. But I think this is kind of the neat sum of it. It made me sit back and think a little bit. And I've thought this before, Mr. Charles. Because we, as men, we come from more of a logical point of view when we deal with things. We don't necessarily bring the emotions. So that being said, as a logical thinker, can you survive being in love?
My answer off the top of my head is yes. And in fact, if you're not, then you're in a world of hurt. It's okay to be emotional and have emotions and feel a certain kind of way at times, but being logical, somebody has to be logical, right? Somebody has to be logical in the relationship, and if somebody's more emotional all the time and there's no logic in it and nobody's able to make smart decisions or look at it from a logical standpoint, you got major problems. So my answer on that is definitely yes.
Can you survive in a relationship, Mr. DeMaurice, being a logical thinker? Because I think that's where part of the conflict exists. You bring a logic and you bring emotions together, and they're banging and they're clashing and rocks are flying. So can a relationship survive, or you survive in a relationship being a logical thinker?
I think the way we're wired as men, or most men, I can't say all men, that you, usually we bring the more logic to it, and we're not the emotional side of, or we don't bring that much emotion or the degree of emotion that our female counterparts bring. But yeah, you have to, because you have to live in reality. You have to kind of take things as you see them, and you have to sort them out and make right decisions. You can't make all your decisions emotionally, because you're going to fail. So, yeah, definitely you have to be more logical in, and I know men are, I know I am, I'm more logical in relationships, because I can kind of look at the relationship and go, okay, is this going to go any farther, or are we compatible, or, you know, you think that way. And you know, you and I have done that in our past marriages, saying, okay, we need to make a decision. It wasn't her that was coming up and said, we need a divorce. It was me. I think we need a divorce, and here's why. Bam, 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 bam. She wasn't even looking at that. So, yeah, I think men are geared towards it, and I think definitely you have to be more logical.
I'm thinking that men that stay in relationships, that they're not fulfilled or happy, they have given up being logical thinkers. You can call it settling. You can call it you know, being in love and honoring their vows. And I'm all about honoring your vows. I'm not saying that one should not do. But I think it's tough because I don't think a logical thinker is respected at the end of the day. I think that sometimes it's not a matter of what's right or wrong. It's a matter of can I get my way and what can I do to get my way. But that being said, Mr. DeMaurice, is a strong man admired or tolerated in a relationship?
It depends on what you mean by strong. And I hear some women or women saying that, you know, the man needs to take charge in a relationship. Is that the, you know, the definition of being strong? Or it's definitely not the physical side of it as far as abusive and things of that sort. But I hear women all the time saying, you know, I like him to take the lead. I like him to be the leader. But in these, nowadays, you know, you have women who fight against that, fight against men trying to be lead because they've been so single so long that they have taken those leadership roles. And when they get in a relationship, they don't know how to operate in a relationship where the man is taking the lead. They want to take the lead. So I think it will cause some conflicts. And I've seen them with friends of mine and folks that I've watched from afar, where the man tries to take the lead and there's a conflict between him and the woman because she, in this day and age, is, you know, I'm an independent woman. I do and say and all this other stuff, and it just becomes a conflict. Not sure if I'm answering your question, but, yeah, I mean, it's I think women – really look for a man that's strong and willing to lead and really kind of be that true man in a relationship.
No, you was there. You was there. I don't know if they. I think they say that. I question if they want that though. But I think they say it. It's nice to say, but I don't think that's totally desired. Can the strong man, is a strong man admired or tolerated in a relationship, Mr. Jones?
I think it depends on the woman. Sometimes, yes. I think there are some exceptions, as you mentioned, that there are certain women that say they want that, but they're so used to they're having an independence that they're not willing to truly relinquish it. They have a solid relationship. Because part of that is, too, and this is what I say, and I'm not, I don't judge anyone. Whatever your happiness is and whatever a woman wants to do, she wants to be independent and live her life the way she's living by herself, and that works for her, hey, that's great. But then I would also throw the caveat in there that being that strong man and a man who brings logic to the table can also enhance a relationship and enhance the woman's life. Because some women are independent, strong, not everybody, strong, level-headed, making their own money, but there are certain things in life that they struggle with. They can't get ahead and struggling this way. If they had a partner that had some logic and had strong enough shoulders, intellect to let them kind of take a back seat on certain things, I think they would be they would move further ahead. A woman would have a better relationship. Certain things, if somebody's a better accountant than you or somebody's better thing, a better system of numbers instead of taking out loans. And I'm not saying this as a man or woman issue, but certain things, certain people are better at you, better at things than you are, then that can do nothing but help you. But if you're bullheaded and you go from into, you walk that walk and do certain kind of ways by yourself, you're going to be respectful. And that's why I try to take you.
I came across something a little while ago, and I saved it when I saw it, and I thought it was interesting. And it stated that 60% of married women love their husband, and they were saying the other 40% are just married to just be married. Well, we look at that as being maybe half true, but let's just look at that that might be true. If you hear that, Mr. Charles, how does that resonate with you? 60% of the married women are probably in love with the husband. The rest are just happy to be there.
Well, it resonates with the numbers that we talk about divorce, right? There's, what is it, 50% chance that most people that get married are going to get divorced. Is that the number it used to be? So 60-40 is kind of close. But the sad thing about it for me is though that they're just hanging on, there's something missing or something that they want. And the sad thing about it is oftentimes my observation, nobody, that's like the elephant, pink elephant in the room. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to get to the nitty-gritty as to what can make their marriage better or what can make them happier. I hear that old phrase all the time where some of the guys talking about, or a woman said, my marriage doesn't have any more spark. There's a spark is going out of my marriage. And they always say when somebody could be doing better, blah, 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 both hands. And I think to myself, well, damn, why don't you put the spark back in it? That's my mindset. If I'm going to be with you, let's figure this out. If not, let's go our separate way. But to sit up there and be miserable and just kind of get by, that's not life. Maybe that's why I'm single. Anyway.
Yeah, I find that to be astounding, man. I really do. Because to me, how do you just be in a marriage to be in a marriage? I mean, I don't understand that in a sense to where you're just kind of playing along. And I'm going to come back. I want to double back with this question real. I'll make this question really a part one, a part two. Can you be, you know, married to someone that you're not attracted to?
Are you asking
Mr.
me?
Charles. Now come back to Mr. Charles. I'll come back. I'm sorry, I should have said it. Mr. Charles, can you, know, you gave your answer, but I'll come to you one second, Mr. Demery. Can you be married to someone that you're not attracted to?
No. And attraction has a lot. Not just about she's drop dead gorgeous. Attraction has a lot of things involved with it. But my answer is definitely, I'm sorry, I say same about me. Oh, sir.
I asked that because remember years ago I was talking to a cousin of mine, a female cousin of mine, and you know we grew up together. We was talking, and she said to me, "I'm not even attracted to my husband." And that took me by surprise. I was like, "Huh? They've been together for a long time, kids, the whole nine yards." And I didn't think at the time to ask if she loved him, but love and attraction, I know, are totally two different things, but. That one a little surprise to me. Mr. Charles, not Mr. Charles, if you're going to bring the question to you, sir, 60% of married women love their husband. The other 40% are basically just married to for the benefits, whatever it brings along. Do you find that to be a little surprising? And the part of the second part of that question, can you be married to someone that you're not attracted to?
Not surprised at that statistic at all because so this society is set up where it's almost pushing women and socializing women to get married at a certain age. So it's like sometimes they feel pressured to do that, just to get married, just to say that they're married, and find out that they're not happy. And I've seen cases where women have gotten married and they didn't want to get married because they're not in love with the person they're getting married with. And they're told by the older folks, well, you'll learn to love them. Just hang in there.
Yes, sir.
Learn to love them. You know, you learn his ways and all that, and you'll grow into it, which that ain't the move either. But, no, I couldn't be with somebody if I'm not attracted to them, whether physically, mentally, or even spiritually, to have a conversation with them that I don't want to always – put this in the back of my mind is that I always want a mate that is as smart or even smarter than me. So we can have conversations so I can learn just as much as I'm learning from, she's learning from me. And so, and it goes through the old adage, if you're in a room and you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room because how can you grow? How can you strive to be better? I always take that as I don't know who gave me that quote, but I'm like, you know what? They're right. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And that means that you think you don't the end all be all and everything you say that's right. So you'll never expand your perspective or horizons or anything. And so, but yeah, I have to be attracted. I got to be attracted to her mind. I got to be attracted to her heart. I got to be attracted to her physically. And if those things aren't really kind of blending together, then one day I'm going to wake up and go, you know what? I'm not with this, or I'm not feeling this, or I may find somebody who has that blend that I may go, you know what? I need to drop this and then head this way, because this is something I can really hang with and I can stay with and I can commit to.
Interesting enough, man, that years ago, my father said to me, it was a woman that I was dating, and don't get me wrong, she had some good qualities about her, but he said to me, you know, I think she'll make you a good wife. I didn't see it. I'm like, okay, you know, I mean, that's, you know, and that goes to what you were saying about, you know, falling in love. I mean, he's not saying it fully like that, but, you know, I love my dad, I love him dearly, but to me, I don't think that's something to say to someone, because I need to see that for myself. And you may see some things that I'm not necessarily seeing, but if that's not gelling with me, I can't take that step. And I think part of him saying it was to get me to move in that direction. And if it's not right for me and I'm not feeling it, why am I making that move? But like you said, I think a lot of women just want to be married. Burns inside of them. It's a strong desire to be married, and therefore go love. If they're going to walk out the house and say, I'm married, I have a husband. If they can do those things, man, and say those and say that, they're good with that. They have no problem with that at all. And so that doesn't surprise me. I'm going to say something, man. I heard this numerous times, and I found it not to be interesting, almost find it to be kind of comical, because you stand back, look at some marriages, you kind of see this being true. But if you look in the Bible and you look at marriage in the Bible, it doesn't say that a wife should love her husband. Think about that for a second, Mr. DeMaurice. It doesn't state that in the Bible. How does that play itself out? How do you see that self playing? How you see that playing itself out in the lives that have been around you? Maybe in your life when you were married.
So now let me get this straight. It says that wives should should love their husbands.
No, they're not obligated. It says for a husband loves your wives, but it doesn't say
wife.
For a wife to love her husband.
Yeah, I got a bunch of issues that I'm currently researching. I ordered two books about the different translations of the Bible. Because I read the whole Bible, man, and it contradicts itself a lot. And we can get into a whole another discussion on that on another show. Yeah, it just seemed contradictory, and most of the authors of the Bible were men, so and maybe they just missed that part, or maybe they just meant that it goes both ways. When I saw that question, it was just really interesting to me that, you know, one has to do but the other doesn't, and so it just kind of set me in a tailwind of like, okay. Is it the interpretation of what the writer of this particular, passage is trying to get through to us? And what are they trying to get through to us? And so, it's an interesting passage. And if the passage is written and it's true, it's weighted towards heartache. If that is the case, because if one is not obligated to do the same thing to the other, then it's always going to be unequally weighted.
I don't even know if they are aware of this passage. mean when I say they, meaning many, many wives. But somehow, I think a lot of them have bought in on this.
Mm.
Because they expect a lot from you as the man. And they can sometimes feel, they can pick and choose what they may want to give you. But what they're expecting from you should always stay consistent. Always should be hitting it. Bang, 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 bang. But for them, they can kind of pick and choose when they kind of really want to be consistent or offer something up. So here again, I'm not sure if they maybe took the passage to heart, but in reality, I've seen this play out many times, many times. Mr. Charles, it doesn't state in the Bible where a woman should love her husband. You take it for granted that she will love you. And knowing that is written, how does that play with you, sir?
Well, I think there's room. They left room, too much room for interpretation. Because with Adam being first, I think it was kind of like, okay, we're gonna tell you the rules, and then we're gonna produce a helpmate with you for you, right? And your helpmate's supposed to just follow the rules because you were first. You are the one that kind of decides how things go, and you know, with that line where it says, you know, a man should love his wife the way that God loved the church, right? And when you think about that and talk about that in Ephesians, but the point of it is, it's almost like, well, they're supposed to follow because that's how it was put down. And you talk about the helpmate, where we think about where the part of the rib was taken to make Eve, and she was there to kind of be there to support Adam as the leader, as the head of the household. And some of that has gotten misconstrued, but I think there's a lot of interpretation. And then particularly now, today, in modern time, that's being, people are picking that apart. Cause like there's no clear passage or no clear meaning as to what goes after that. But I think before it was just kind of accepted, but now, in the way that everybody's thinking and everybody has an opinion and women are a lot more independent, and they breaking that down like a shotgun, bro, piece by piece by piece. So there's always going to be a lot of interpretation and different meanings, and people have different ways they think about that. But I think it really kind of comes down to individuals. That's why I always said, even to the point of the relationship and marriage, people have to be on the same page. They have to be on the same page, and that's where that decision or whatever it's made to how this is going to work. You got to want to make it work. And we're not on the same page. It's like somebody saying they love you. You love a person 100%, and they're giving you 35. Not going to work, bro. Don't add up. 35, 65, and 100, and 90, and 10, there's always too much room there. But I think it really resonates with individuals making decisions to want to be together to make it work. And that includes how you love a person.
You know, something I found always interesting is that you don't have to know another person for them to really start to share with you and vent to you some things that they may experience that they're not happy with. And I can think of one particular time. I was in the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I was ordering. And I knew this guy from a hole in the wall, bro. And he started saying to me about, you know, what's been going on with him and his girlfriend. And he said, you know something, they're not happy for a long period of time. He said, I went out yesterday, or a couple of days ago. I bought her a new TV. I did that. He said, she seemed like she's happy for the night. And the next day, she wake up, she's back to who she was. So, I'll come to you, Mr.
I'll tell you why I'm laughing in a few minutes, man. It was a conversation.
I can't wait to hear it, brother. I can't wait to hear it. One thing you find that we all kind of experience the same thing. It might be a different time. It might have a little twist on it. But we all kind of experience it. So I'm coming to you with this, Mr. Charles. Good deeds don't seem to last that long. It actually seems like they carry an expiration date. Like, it's just like, you know, you do something good. It's going to last for X amount of hours, maybe a day. and it's like it's all forgotten. But the bad, if you do bad or something that's done that's not agreeable with them, it can seem to like it live on forever. From your past experience, is that true or false?
I would say that's true. Depending on what it is, you do something that really was, maybe you were, I always have stuff comes back, that used to come back on me, because I was a lot more juvenile in my thinking and just really didn't care. And that would stick forever. It's like, well, you remember the time? And I was like, you still talking about that? Yeah, but then when you do something great to a point of something that really, that they really wanted from you, then that's kind of like poo-poo doing, even down the line. I remember very quick scenario, and this is kind of whatever. I was doing working in the journalism field, and we were doing shows and stuff like that too. So I had this young lady I was dating, and she loved, went to a concert. She loved this group. So I'm going to kind of work my magic, you know, get a hookup, and tickets really were expensive. So I ended up getting a hookup. We're in row number six, bro. Row number six. They run the camera through. You stand up, you're on the screen. She's on the screen dancing. We had a conversation of it. And she said she appreciated it or whatever. Down the line, she said, wasn't that big a deal, though, because you didn't pay for the ticket. I was like, really? Okay. Really? You little tramp. Anyway, how dare you? You know how much these tickets cost? I said, that didn't stop you from dancing on the screen. I did it. Okay?
Oh.
So I didn't pay for them, so you know, they're not worthwhile, huh? I bet you, I know what, you ain't going to worry about the next one. You go back up into row LL, seat two, where you belong.
Mr. DeMaurice. It seems like, you know, good deeds carry an expiration date, but the bad, they take that date, man, they scratch that, they fix the date off of bad, and it kind of lives on for a good period of time. From your past experience, sir, true or false?
Yeah. That's true. That's true. You do one thing, you can do everything right. One thing bad, that's it. Well, I was just talking to somebody earlier. I ain't going to identify how I know them or who they are. Because I know that his significant other might be listening. But anyway, he was telling me about how he felt his mate has split personalities, man. And he asked her, he's like, do you have like different personalities or something? Because it's like so many different sides of you, and I can't figure out. And they've been together for a while. It's not like they just met. They've been together for a while. And I started laughing because I can identify. And I was saying, I said, man, we were just talking on the show about, you know, this same thing. And it's like, you know, you marry somebody, you think you know them, you don't know them, they're never happy, you do what you, they say they want this, you give them that, no, I didn't want this, my favorite color is this now. It's like, you can't keep up. And it reminds me of what my dad told me a long time ago. He's like, don't ever try to figure out a woman. You'll die before you even try to figure out. You'll have your gravestone saying, he tried to figure out his woman, and you'll be dead. He said, you can't figure him out. There's no way to do it. And so I know past experiences, you know, you think you're giving everything that you're supposed to be giving. You're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. And it's like, well, no, I didn't really want that. It's almost like childlike. Like, yeah, I got everything I want, but I want something else. Or I don't like the way this is. And it's almost like it's toying with you. It's toying with you just to see what they can get away with or what they can get, or how far you will go to do something just to prove a point, or to see how far you will go until it's time to say, okay, no, I'm not going to do that, or you'll take a stand. And so I remember watching this documentary called Diary of a Mad Black Man. It's not from Tyler Perry. And it was some guys in the documentary, and they were from Chicago, and they were saying, you know, when you're a good guy, man, you get all the problems. But if you upside somebody's head and all that stuff, it's like, they get it good. And you can't figure it out. You cannot figure it out. And like I said earlier, you just don't know what women want sometimes. And when I was getting ready to say who this was, when he said, I think she has a good personality. And he was saying some good things about it. She happened to be in the room. No, that's not it. Such and such and such and such. And it totally proved my point, what I was saying about earlier in the week that, you know, it's like I don't know a married guy who says, oh, man, you should just join into this life because this is the best, bro. You don't know what you miss. I never, not ever heard of a married guy, friend, family has said, oh, man, rush into it. You know, do what you got to do and get married because, man, over here, I'm living the life of Raleigh. It's not that way. And so when you ask, when I ask a married guy how their significant other, oh, they're all right. You know, whole conversation changed. Yeah, man, it's like you doused water on a hot conversation you were having. Like, man, why you had to bring that up? This is my only chance to not even think about it. Now you bringing that up in conversation. Now I got to think about it. And now I'm reminded after this phone call, I got to go back to that. I can't live.
Oh.
So it's like, yeah, man, like the split personality, you can never get a hold of it. And then you get to a point where, you know, I'm not trying anymore. You know, it is what it is, you know. Do you, whatever, I don't care anymore, because you realize that it, no matter what I do, it's not going to make you happy. So whatever you do, fine, I'm done with it.
Yeah, I don't think the aim is to be happy, bro. And that, I know it may sound like, what are you talking about? But I don't think realistically, the aim is to be happy. Sometimes I think the aim is just to cause confusion. And I think in the confusion and the unhappiness, is there happiness? I'm not saying for all, but a good portion. That's when they're happy. When stuff is confused, conflicted, and not happy, that's when they're more comfortable. They're used to that. And you touched base on something about going up beside that or whatever, but a knucklehead, think about this for a second. A knucklehead will receive more focus and attention than a guy that's trying to do well by her. A knucklehead, pure knucklehead, will get more attention. Now, you know, I was going to ask why. And you're going to go and do that because it kind of boggles the mind when you think about it. Like you said, like they said in that documentary, we all kind of experience the same thing. It seems like when you're trying to do right and be right, you got hell to pay. For no other reason, just because you're just repaying it. But a knucklehead will get treated better and has more focus and attention given to. Why is that, Mr. Reese? If you can answer, because that's like a $3 million question right there.
Dude, like my pop said, don't try to figure it out. I don't know. I don't know if it's remember I said earlier about strength, depending on what you think it is, whether it's the strength to be a leader or strength physically. And it goes to that old thing that a thug, women want a thug, and they want the good guy, but they want the thug too. But that usually doesn't happen in the same combination. And so they will go with thugs until they figure out, you know what, these men aren't really good for me. So now I want the good guy. Now you get to the good guy, and he's been watching you go after all these thugs. Now I get the booby prize now. Now that you went through all this stuff, now I get the blue ribbon now after you went. No, I don't want it. I don't want it. When I wanted you, you wanted the thug. You wanted to get beat down and all this other stuff. But now all of a sudden you're going through this, maybe had a couple of babies and all that. Oh, you know, here's the prize now. No, I don't want that now. It ain't the same person. I wanted to be good to you. I wanted to be good to you. You wanted to be treated bad. Now you want to be treated good. And that, like, I've been sitting here waiting for you to figure it out. To come back, it's like it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work for me. I don't think a lot of women have figured that out. That, you know, you can't go through all this stuff, bring that baggage, and then, you know, now I get the blue ribbon. You're supposed to be the blue ribbon to me now. Oh, I get it now. No, it doesn't work that way. So I don't know, bro. I don't know why it's like that. I don't know if it's some in a DNA kind of trait, or I don't know. But they'll see something bad. and they gravitate towards that, like you know, mosquitoes to a light, and realizing that, okay, after I get zapped a few times, then maybe this is not too good for me. So I want to go back to something. I can't figure it out, bro. I don't have an answer for that. But you see it all the time. Think about when we were going to high school or school, where the girls we like the older kind of dudes, they ain't doing much, and now they probably with them or have babies by them. And then now, you know, they see you doing all well, and, you know, you got, you know, stuff, and, you know, you made a good life for yourself. Oh, you know, I always had a crush on you. What? What was that? Oh, I always liked you. What? Really? I saw you chasing the knucklehead. Oh, you had a crush. You weren't even paying attention. How you had a crush on me? It's almost like they're trying to lie to you. It's like you ain't been there. You ain't seen it.
Huh? I've seen it, bro. I've definitely seen it. To answer the question, you answer the question, bro. That's what I want to say tonight. Answer the question. You did, man. You did. I got something about this that I don't think, to me, gets the attention that it deserves. I'm going to say that after Mr. Charles come on in. Mr. Charles, they will focus and pay more attention and give more attention to a knucklehead. Here again, $3 million question, man. If you can, you know, give your rendition or your answer, we want to hear it, sir.
I thought I didn't believe it at first, but I learned the hard way. Nice guys finish last.
Yep.
Nice guys finish last. Every time you watch it in all of the movies, all of the stuff. What was that movie? It was a movie where a guy was in love with this girl. She had a boyfriend. She got pregnant by the guy. What was that, Last American Virgin or something? Got pregnant by the guy. Guy treated her like crap. Guy took her in, made sure she was good, went through the process with her, and they fell in love. And as soon as they went to the next party, dude was right back in with the girl.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for some time, man. Dude, nice guys finish last. I'll just say this, and I'm with you, D-Marie. Been there, done that, you know. I wasn't the coolest dude. I was quite awkward and clumsy when I was a kid coming up. And I didn't have the fashionable clothes. But, you know, things happen. God is great. Things start happening. You start seeing people from high school and college, and they go, ooh. Hey, how you doing? One girl in particular, man, I liked her. She was tall, so nice. She was, you know, didn't give me a time of day. And then she saw my picture or something. She's like, and sent me a notice saying something. It might have been on Facebook. She's like, ooh. You done got out. She said, you got handsome when you got older. I said, oh, did I? Okay. Okay, now I'm handsome, right? Before, you wouldn't even look at me twice. You wouldn't even dance with me. It's all good. She's like, when you coming home? Okay. No, I'm good. But the whole point of it is, women, I think particularly when they're younger, they're like the guys that drive the motorcycle, got the car, does bad things, whatever, do they realize that that guy's not, most of the time, is not going to be there for them in the long haul. The nice guy usually is. And two, when you talk about your future, how many women that we know of that were younger or even to the point now, they married the bad guy and they're stuck. Whatever, and no disrespect to what kind of job you have, because, you know, we do what we do as far as making money. But things are not maybe as great as it could have been if you're with somebody else that you thought had a little bit more potential. And they stuck, and they just got kids and more kids, and they got grandkids, and the woman's never fulfilled. But as a man, particularly now, like I said, worst thing I ever found out is the ratio of women to men now. I used to be that guy. Oh, I'm chasing all over. Oh, she's such a nice lady. And let me wine and dine, and maybe she'll like me and all that other stuff. I found those numbers out, bruh. Like the other cats, I'm sorry to say. I'm like, okay, all right, next. I had to pull up with that foolishness because there's too many other options that I have now. But, yeah, I don't understand it. But deep down inside, a lot of women, I think, are lonely, and they know that they missed out on some great guys. So, ladies, especially the younger ladies that are listening out there, don't just discard the nice guy. Don't just throw him away. He might be a great, great husband for you down the line. And some of the older ladies, same thing, too. Just because a man's nice and trying to treat you with respect, don't think he's soft. That's why I said someone, I remember years ago when I was coming up, and I had somebody gave me a nickname. They thought I was just a super nice guy, which I am. I'm a very nice guy. And then they told me, no, I said they thought I was a pushover because where I was from, and they're from the East Coast. And they gave me a nickname after they found out who I really was. They called me an educated thug. Anyway, we're going to leave that alone. That's for another show.
Educated thug. There it is. You know what's interesting, man? I don't think a lot of times we'll look at a man that we perceive not put together well, a knucklehead or whatever, and we are start to trace, okay, how did he get this way? And a lot of times we go back to, okay, how was he raised, his father, and that nature. But we're not quick, and we don't think that way when it comes to women. And a lot of women that we've dealt with over the years, or we may deal with currently, or who they are in front of us, based on their mother, based on what their mother has basically embedded in her head, based on what their mother has basically shown to them, based on the type of man that their mother basically paraded around them, if it wasn't a father, or even if it wasn't the man that was her father. And I don't think we do service enough to understanding that a lot of what we deal with, a lot of these sisters go back to their mother. Even when you talk about Mr. they're not being happy, we're talking about them not being happy in the expiration date, a lot of it is taught, bro. They've seen it. They've seen the attitudes. Don't act like you're happy. Always act like, you know, you're mad about something. And they emulated this coming up. It's what's been shown to them, sometimes quietly and sometimes verbally. It has been. And, you know, I know coming up, I've heard my mother say certain things to my sisters. You know, one of my sisters took a liking to it, and my baby sister, for the most part, she kind of wasn't doing her own thing. And we talked about, you know, when we were talking earlier on an earlier show, how we looked at our uncles, and we decided a lot of women never stand back and seen or listen or think about what they were given and try to decipher what was good from it and what's bad from it. They just take it. And they roll with it, and they're living their lives based on what someone else has created for them, not a life that they've created for themselves. So when they roll around with this attitude, playing hard to get and all this stuff, even when you're with someone, they haven't been told that's not how you do it. And we don't really honor that. I see it, because a lot of times, if you want to understand who you're with, go look at the mother. And they're not prepared to basically be a wife. A lot of them not. You know, they'll say in a minute, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do whatever, because their mother didn't really do it. Their mother probably didn't do most of it. So now they're basically, or they saw their mother doing it, and they don't want to be what they saw. But they weren't prepared. A lot of them weren't prepared and raised to be a wife. They just weren't. But they were told, you find somebody, you do X, Y, Z, you do this, you blah, blah, blah. He's going to give you this. He's going to basically, here again, give you much more than what you're giving him. And if you don't act like you're not happy, whatever, he's going to try to make you happy. The mother is the link, in my opinion, to a lot of what goes on with dealing with women, bro. I'll come to you first, Mr. Charles. Does it sound like it makes sense?
Yeah, because, I mean, oftentimes I think women, as you said, go off of what they see and how their mothers, their relationship was with their fathers or with other men. And people emulate what they see oftentimes instead of really understanding that they deserve better or things could be better by the way that you act or the way that you present yourself. And sometimes they feel like if that's the way things are supposed to be, particularly if a the mother has a bad relationship or a bad situation where she's more subservient in a relationship with the father or whoever the man is, or the house is, what she's playing up to that role and doing certain things, then a lot of women, I think, will emulate that. As you mentioned about somebody in your family took a different route to go their own way. Sometimes that happens, but others kind of roll the dice depending on what the individual's thinking and what they've experienced.
I'll give a quick example. What I said about you know, one of my sisters. So she married a cat later on in life, and I remember the cat before he married. I asked him, you know, what makes you decide to get married at this stage in your life? Well, I want to come home to someone. So okay, you know, I guess. Now after he got married, he told my other brother. He didn't come back and tell me this for reasons that I guess he didn't want to share with me after saying that. But he said, when I come home, I don't know who I'm coming home to. He said, she's angry every day for no reason. She's mad no matter what. Some days I don't want to come home. Bro, let me just say this. That was my mother and my father in the part of life.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yes, that was my mom. My sister didn't have to read a book to learn how to do that.
Oh,
I mean, realistically, that's what it was. I mean, think about that. You can't come home to and see someone happy. You ain't done nothing but went to work getting mad. So it's like, here again, where did she get that from? How was that? Was that stress to her? Did my mother give her a passage to read and said, this is how you treat your husband? Because she, when he went all in and gave her an elaborate wedding, you wasn't acting like that then. I see her at the wedding. She wasn't acting like that when they put all that together. And I'm just going to be honest. I mean, I love my sister to death, and I'll say this about any woman. If you are lucky to find a good man in the later part of your life to honor you, want to be with you, marry you, and make you his wife, and give you that fairy tale, and all you can do for him is show him your ass afterwards. Wow. But here again, a lot of this has been given to them, verbally and nonverbally, given to them. Mr. Dean Reese, your response.
Yeah, I respond, and while I'm laughing, because I remember sitting in your kitchen, and we all laughing, talking, our Sally, you know, giggling and all that other stuff, and singing, and then when Uncle Horace would walk in, it was like that whole move would just...
Yes, sir.
You never knew why. You never knew why. Like, what happened? Like a cold breeze just came in, chilled everything. I'm like, what happened? We were all just laughing and talking. She would say the shit. I'm like, oh man. But I do agree that happens, bro. But I look at the example of my ex-wife, her mother, my mother-in-law. I absolutely adored my mother-in-law. My ex-wife missed those lessons. She missed those lessons. I would tell my mother-in-law. I would tell her when she was living. May she rest in peace. When she was living, I'm like, boy, if you were younger and I was older, I would leave your daughter and marry you, because I never caught her without a smile. She was always happy, always accommodating. I know how she treated the father, who I felt personally didn't deserve her, the way he treated her. But I'm like, she missed those lessons. She missed those lessons. I mean, living right under the roof and missed those lessons. I mean, just adored her. So I do believe that it comes from it. But we could say the same thing about us, man, you know, watching our fathers. You know, some of that stuff we got came from them too. So, you know, our parents are our first teachers of how we're supposed to, and then we pick up things along the way. But definitely, man, I used to, you know, I saw how grandma was. I saw how her daughters were towards their men. And, you know, you pick up some things And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I would find myself in relationships where I would go, man, I'm dating somebody just like my mom. Because you get attracted to what's familiar to you, and you kind of roll with that. So, you know, I'm not sure. I know in the documentary I recommend this documentary. It's called Diary of an Angry Black Man. And it talks about how it shows you different vignettes about how women would talk about the fathers of their children, and the daughters are watching, and the daughter treating little boys the same way. So it does have an effect. And I don't think women who are mothers, especially single mothers, really realize that what you're saying is you're actually setting up for confrontation. A real quick story. We were talking to a young lady, and we got in this conversation at the school years ago, and she was like, all men are dogs. And I'm like, so first question came up, I was like, so you have dated all men? No, you know what I mean. You know, I said, well, where do you get that from? You know, well, my mother said such and such. Let's stop that. Let's stop that. I said, because sometimes you have to realize, sweetheart, that women make the wrong choices when they're going after mates. So, you know, you can't really kind of make a blanket statement that all men are dogs, because maybe she made and maybe you made the wrong decision in your choices of your mate based on whatever you learned in the home, the group you're hanging out with, what you think is cool, or what you think may be something that you want that, you know, these men aren't really kind of giving you. But to make that statement is really kind of harsh. And if you go in with that attitude, then you're going to have a really rough time trying to find a mate for yourself.
Yeah, here again, bro. I think a lot of it goes back. I'm going to say something. I'm kind of parallel to what you said about your ex-mother-in-law, man. I've been divorced now for roughly 20-some-odd years. My mother-in-law, ex-mother-in-law, and I can't even say she's my mother-in-law, bro. I'm going to take the ex out of her. We still have a conversation, bro. We still communicate. We still have a relationship. Still, I can call her now. We'll talk like it was 20 years ago. The laughter, the thing.
Wow.
I mean, the camaraderie. It's still there. It's still there, bro. Let me. So you're
right.
Come on and do
this. I miss my mother-in-law. I miss her.
Some,
God,
right.
Yeah,
some,
I miss her.
You absolutely are right there, because some do miss it. I call my ex-wife now. Not that I would want to. It's not even close. It wouldn't be close. When I say it wouldn't be close, it wouldn't be close. And I married her. My dumb ass married her. So, yeah, I feel you on that one, because it's like, yes, you look at her and you go, why couldn't I get that over here?
Yeah.
It's like, how did that
perfect?
How did that not transfer? Yes. How did that not transfer over? How? I mean, it's just, you know, so, yeah, like your pop said, bro.
Like your pop said. You're not trying to figure it out.
No, bro. You'd be, like you said, you'd be dead. You'd be sitting in the corner looking straight somewhere, you know, and they're feeding Fruit Loops. One of the two. Gentlemen, I realized this a long time ago. We kind of maybe talked about it in different forms of fashion, but we'll revisit it in this particular question. But it's interesting to me over the years, and I'm not necessarily just saying it relationship, but I think it's more valuable, and it really kind of takes part in relationship way too much, and I think it's real damaging to any relationship, but definitely a relationship that you're having with a person of the opposite sex. It seems like honesty has become an invalid commodity. It's not something that's seeked. It's not something you can take for granted. There's been a time where, you know, if I'm with you, I should be able to take for granted what you're saying is just correct. It's truthful. You know, I could believe in it. I should not have to evaluate in my mind what you're saying to me is honest or not. And I know I'm not the only one to feel this way, But throughout, you know, dating or whatever, you start to, you know, you see where when someone says something to you, you can't take it to the bank. Why is that, Mr. Charles?
Wow, because it's hard for people to be honest. I think it's hard for people to really tell the truth because there's always some mitigating circumstances involved. And maybe they're more loyal to other individuals than they are to you, or they're looking out for their best interest instead of you. So, and if there's been a pattern, that's the other thing too. There might have been a pattern before you connected with this person. And, you know, it's hard to change people. If they bring in old habits and they don't know it, they don't tell you about it, then you get what you pay for. You already pay for the marriage or the relationship, and that's where you're at. So I think that's what it has a lot to do with. I think it's very important to find out who the person is that you are dating or dealing with after that representative expiration date is their expiration date has ended.
You hit a very valid point there when you said they've probably been doing this prior to meeting you. And one thing I understand, you know, I'm not saying it's a question, I'm going to come to you real quick, Mr. Reese, but I don't understand if you've been doing that and hasn't been working for you, why you keep doing it? Obviously, it hasn't been working, because if it does, you and I would not be talking and getting to know each other. So if what you've been doing has been concrete, why keep going down the same path that's not working? But, Mr. Demings, why is it that, you know, being honest, I mean, sometimes you can ask a simple question, bro. Question ain't got to be hard. And they start tap dancing, and it's an insult to your intelligence, what they will give back to you. But why is that? But here again, they want consistency from you. But why is that such a hard thing, just a commodity that is invalid for the most part?
I'm not really sure, because a lot of times when people lie to you or not honest to you, they're trying to take advantage of you, or they're trying to get something out of you, or, get into a situation where they're kind of above you or over you or have something over you. And in this day and age, man, it seems like, you know, people are stuck on alternative facts. If they believe it, then it's true to them. And it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. And it doesn't matter if you got the truth and you're showing it to them. No, that's not the way I see it. That's not, you know, that's not the way it is. And it's this, I said it before in a show maybe a few weeks ago, we're in the age of denialism, man. It's that they deny the facts. They deny everything. And they don't have to. You don't have to. Just be honest with folks. And if I have to verify everything you say, I'm not gonna spend too much time around you. But I'm not sure why people feel the need to lie to you, other than the fact that they want to. They're getting something from you that if they told you the truth, they wouldn't be getting, or they're getting some kind of advantage over you, or they want to have something over you, or they're not really your friends or people that. To have your best interest in the first place. So they're just trying to kind of hang in there until they get what they want, and then they just leave. And so I have a lot of female friends, and I tell my female friends, you know, if they're wearing something that's not really complimentary to them, I'm like, you know, you should wear something like this, that, the other. It's like, oh, my girlfriends don't say that. And maybe they ain't your girlfriend, because they let you go out like that. And they're around you. Maybe they talk behind your back. Maybe they're not, you know, they got your best interest at heart. So, you know, and that's why Mr. Charles said he don't like nobody. You know, you can't trust him. You can't trust him. You can't trust him. And it's hard to get around people that you can actually trust, gonna say and be honest with you. And those are usually people I hang with. So if I'm doing something wrong or something's not right, I want people around me and like, yo, D, that's, you know, come on, man. You know, pull up, you know, or maybe look at it this way. And I do the same for folks that I'm around that could trust what I say, you know, and not have to verify it.
Bringing this to a relationship, in a sense, and that's what I find to be interesting, because they'll desire to have something with you, or they'll speak that they want X, Y, Z, but they treat honesty like it's not important. How am I to basically think about in my mind to have something with you, and I can't even get you to be honest on the small things, Mr. DeVries?
Yeah, some people want to be lied to, man, to make them feel better. Some people actually want to be, they can't really face the truth or honesty. So they'd rather be lied to, and they can't face rejection. So they'd rather be lied to, that you just lied to them in your words and actions instead of dealing with reality, because they just can't deal with it.
Yeah. You never told the truth. And you never told the truth. And they're telling you the truth is a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, that's not it. That's not how you feel. Man, I just told you. I'm being honest with you. Here's where I am. No.
That's not right. Two-point question here, sir, that how is it that they expect to have something with you, obtain something with you, and they can't be honest with you? And have you been in a situation where you're telling the straight-up truth, but it's like it's almost like they prefer you to lie to them?
Well, in regards to them not telling the truth, they are, I think oftentimes people are, they've been able to do that in the past. So it's a pattern. So you should just jump on and accept what they say too, right? You should accept it. I've been doing this my whole life. Why are you different? Why do I have to change who I am? I think that's what happens. They develop a routine, and it's worked so far, so why are you going to come in here and mess it up? So that's one thing. And then, yes, I've been in a position where it's like I'll say something and they'll go, or they'll say, I know, no, that's not what you mean. I said, what do you mean? How can you say that? That's not what you mean. I know that's not what you mean. Mm-hmm. How are you going to tell me? And at that point, I'm like, how are you gonna read my mind and tell me what I really feel? I know you don't feel that way. You said that because somebody else told you that. Are you out your mind? I'm an independent thinker, but I find that crazy. I'm like, how can you not just believe it? Maybe they say that because it's not something they want to hear. And when you don't want to hear something, it's a way to kind of push it off or just disregard it because you don't want to deal with the pain and the hurt that might come with it.
Yeah. I think a lot of times they don't want to be honest because they want to sell you something other than that's not reality. They want you to believe what they want you to believe. They want to guide your mind to it. Gentlemen, we're winding down. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to give each of you 30 seconds, and I want us to talk about, if you don't mind, we're going to set up for the sports show. But 30 seconds. I'll come to you first, Mr. Charles. It seemed like Eric Bieniemy is losing momentum to become a head coach in the NFL. Are you getting that feeling?
I am, but my problem with this is I don't know who the hell to believe. I hear one time where somebody said he doesn't interview well or reading this. Then again, I'm hearing the other people that are credible saying that he's good to go. And then, like, the Atlanta Falcons really want to still talk to him, and they really want to go deeper with him. So, I'm hearing it from two different sides of the coin. Crazy hell to me.
Mr. Charles, Steve Maurice, 30 seconds to you, sir. Same question.
Man, I'm trying to check sources. I'm seeing the same thing that Charles is saying. So I'm checking to see who's honest, who's being honest at this particular point. And we'll never know because we're not in the room with him when he's interviewing with these folks or who's contacting these folks. So we'll have to just wait and see.
I will say this, man, before we get out of here. I find it interesting that he spoke with four or five teams and it doesn't seem like any one of them wants to pull the trigger yet. And Jacksonville is set on hiring Urban Meyer as well. It's just a matter of, to me, in my opinion, it's a matter of get the right amount of money. Gentlemen, get together in about a week or do it again. It's been Black Men Talk. Mr. Jim Reese, Mark Elliott, Mr. Jones. Y'all be safe. Have a good week.